Welcome to the lecture series of Public Theology, a cooperation of the Berlin Institute for Public Theology, the Beyersnaude Center for Public Theology, and the Lutheran World Federation.
Hello everybody, my name is Friederike van Oschert. I'm a scholar of systematic theology at the University of Heidelberg in Germany. In Heidelberg, I work at a Protestant Research Institute at the Department of Religion, Law and Culture. My research interests are public theology, theological hermeneutics, and digital theology, and I'm glad to introduce you today into the relation of the digital spaces and public theology.
Digital politics of space, or how digitalization codes public spaces. Second slide. Talking about the digital world and public theology means, first of all, thinking about a new context, a new space for and in public theology. What I mean by this, you can see on the third slide. Digital media creates new spaces structured by digital theologies, constituting interactions of information and communication. These virtual spaces partly exist separate and partly interfere with analog spaces. We therefore live in an analog-digital hybrid space. Hybrid not only in terms of technical means, but also in a cultural sense. As concepts of the digital have penetrated into other areas, we observe a hybridization and consolidation of the digital, described as culture of digitality by the Swiss media and cultural scientist Felix Stalder. So in my talk, I don't want to address specific ethical questions related to digital technologies. I rather want to think about public theology itself. I want to show how public theology changes in and through digital spaces. Using the term politics of space, my question is, which borders, structures, and agents regulate access to digital spaces? After sketching brief perspectives on that question in the first and second part, I want to unfold a model for public theology in the digital in the third and fourth part. You can see the outline of my talk on the fourth slide. So, let's talk about digital public spaces. See on the fifth slide. Communication and interaction in digital spaces are essentially structured and guided by algorithms. Much has been written about the algorithmic architecture of digital spaces. I therefore limit myself to three short remarks on the technical governance, having a look on the sixth slide. First, algorithms are gatekeepers of digital publics. They not only structure the information we see, but also provide the corridors in which we can see and communicate. Algorithms thus create corridors of attention and structure social practices. Secondly, these corridors of attention lead to a continuing pluralization and segmentation of publics. These processes have been widely discussed related to Ilya Parisa's description of filter bubbles. The personalization of information and interaction as much breaks up social relationships as it enables new encounters. At the same time, they can create new forms of enclosures for the user, limiting by what one can perceive in and as the digital world. Thirdly, talking about publics in this context, one has to take into account these are personal and very fluid publics. They are changing constantly and are never the same today and tomorrow. The publics we are talking about are best described as always new and changing communication networks. Based on this, algorithms are significantly involved in the perception and construction of reality in digital spaces. The German theologian Christine Merle aptly states, you can see the quote on the seventh slide, and I quote, "The world the algorithm presents is not a representation of real settings, but rather an individualized usage data responsive construction based on specific parameters, whose nature and interaction are generally withdrawn from users. This leads us to the second form of governance on slide 8. Of course, the algorithmic structure is neither a coincidence nor an end in itself. Rather, it is an expression of the digital power structure, as the Austrian media and culture scientist Ramon Reichert points out. The users, acting autonomously on the surface, are controlled heteronomously by the algorithmic structure of the user interfaces. The hierarchical order thus takes place between back-end and front-end. Digital power structures have to be distinguished carefully, depending on the space one refers to. A lot of research is going on and already done on social networks or search engines. The former Harvard economist Shoshana Zuboff shows in impressive details, mostly referring to Facebook and Google, that this structure is not just about direct profit, but about the capitalization of user attention on the one hand, and on the other hand about data, aiming to describe user profiles and micromilieus as accurate as possible in order to sell them or use them to influence economic, political, and social behavior. But looking on nonprofit or other paid platforms, we see a different, almost contrary picture. Let me sketch this out, referring to knowledge and science platforms described on slide 9. Scientific nonprofit platforms show, firstly, how scientific communities became more permeable. At the same time, they compete with others for the attention of digital users. Therefore, the German theologians Benedikt Friedrich, Hannah Reichel, and Thomas Renkert state, and I quote again, "Platforms and networks fulfill more and more functions which previously belonged to institutions, certificates, and authorship." End of the quote. Secondly, the importance of single or smaller groups for the aggregation of knowledge increases. Therefore, the digital forms of aggregating knowledge lead to a discussion about the subjectivist paradigm of epistemic individualism in favor for epistemic communities as primary carriers of knowledge and insight. This last aspect refers to a third level of governance, see slide 10. Many digital spaces are focused on participation and interaction. Providers and users of content are often inseparable. Users write and read at the same time, share and moderate. The Australian media scholar Axel Bruins therefore coined the neologism producer. So it's a mixture of producer and user. Producer. This structure creates fluid, participatory discourses. As a result, public communication is changing from a socially selective, linear, and one-sided to a participatory, network-like, and interactive communication, as the German media scientist Christian Neuberger describes. Additionally, in social networks and partly on other platforms such as blogs, one sees a peculiar connection between content and identity, I refer to on slide 11. I am what I like. The digital self is constituted by its visualized interconnections. Interactions are therefore highly influenced by private content, and at the same time, they are part of a public debate. Merle therefore proposes to conceptualize the public as an, I quote again, intermediary and integrated network public with a dynamic character. She concludes, public is not a pre-existing entity, but rather a product of social circulation through various forms of media. Based on this description of governances, let me now sketch out a model for public theology in digital spaces. You can read it on slide 12. I will make 4 cases which serve as an impulses for further thinking and discussion. So, my first case on slides 13, digital spaces create plural and fluid publics. They thus expand the concept of publicness and at the same time lead it ad absurdum. The last aspect, the understanding of public, touches upon a central concept of public theology. The fact that digitization brings with it massive changes to the concept of public is hardly surprising and subject to many debates. In my view, digital spaces create plural and fluid publics. They thus expand the concept of publicness and at the same time lead it ad absurdum. The fact that public theology has not to address one but many publics has long been aware of their representatives. In digital spaces, the new question arises of how to deal with seemingly infinite public spaces. But we need not only to ask how this plurality can be described and addressed, but also, are these fluid personal spaces of interactions, these networks, as said above, are aptly described as publics? What would be non-public in this view? What does public theology mean if the publics are formed as a communication network which is constantly being created and changed in the course of the digital interaction? I will try to follow up with this last question in the next statement on slide 14. Theology and the public are not opposed to one another. On the contrary, public theologies are constituted in and by publics. Public theology is therefore to be reformulated as a mode of discourse. One consequence seems obvious. If public communication is changing from socially selective, linear, and one-sided communication to participatory, net-like and interactive communication, as I described above, the demarcation of theology and its publics is unsustainable. Therefore, theology and the public are not opposed to each other. On the contrary, public theologies are constituted in and by publics. Public theology is therefore a mode of discourse. Following this, the publics are by no means a subordinate counterpart of theology. Public theology cannot be developed independently or outside of its publics and then be carried to a public. Rather, the public, more aptly the publicness of theology, is constituted in the process of theological thinking, discussion, and action itself. Public theology thus becomes a dynamic process of becoming public theologies in discourse. Public and theological thus become adjectives, more aptly adverbs, of a cooperative and participatory process instead of static poles of assumed recipients. Here I follow impulses of John de Grouchy, rereading him, referring to the needs of digital public spaces. The close connection between content and identity I described above is surprisingly similar to the Christian concept of witness and testimony. So this would be the third case on slide 15. Spreading the message of the gospel, the content cannot be separated from the identity of the proclaimer. Therefore, theological discourse is testimonial discourse, closely relating content and identity for theological reasons. Understanding public theology as a theology of witness has two major consequences. Firstly, a witness is always a contested witness. The Brazilian theologian Rudolf von Sinner argues, refer to the kenosis of Christ, public theology is, and I quote, for theological reasons, kenotic, self-restraining, and self-critical. The second consequence is raised by the next statement, See slide 16. Insofar as the Christian witness is constituted collectively, public theology can be understood as a collaborative practice. The participatory and net-like structure of most digital communication spaces makes it inevitable to practice a participatory and interactive public theology in digital spaces. Similarly, Christian witness is always part of the communion of Christian witnesses in time and space. Christian witness and its theological reflection can therefore be described as a participatory and collaborative production of the whole body of Christ. Subject to such a theology are therefore not a few experts, but all Christians in decentralized networks. Together with some colleagues, I tried to give shape to this form of public theology in a theological open access journal and a theological digital working space called Cursor, and I want to introduce you just very briefly in this project. You can read about that on slide 17. Most of the cases I make here are rooted in this project, trying to give shape to this kind of public digital theology I'm thinking about. My co-editors, Benedikt Friedrich, Hannah Reichel, and Thomas Renkert, which I already quoted earlier, describes our aim as a model of citizen theology, a theological reinterpretation of citizen science based on the understanding of Christian witness. Citizen theology is a, and I quote, model of theology, which establishes a connection between the object of knowledge and path, as well as the actors of theology and their attitudes. The media transformations of the digital age offer a path to develop a more collaborative, participatory, and exploratory practice of science. This concept might be a valuable path also for thinking about public theology in digital spaces related to concepts of public theology by De Grucci and von Sinner. It's time to conclude, so let's have a look on slide 18. Following this concept of public theology, digital spaces remain not only a context of public theology, but become at the same time its object and task. See slide 19. Thereby, the need for thinking of a theological politics of digital spaces becomes obvious. In other words, what aspects of digital spaces might be worth and in need of public theological reflection? To close my talk, I want to point out two areas which caught my attention during the last month. A first task for public theology is to be aware of the power structures of digital spaces as publics for theology. Here, the same questions as in analog publics has to be addressed, and especially regarding some forms of social media, to what extent are we as theologians and churches willing to fulfill the needs of the platforms we use to gain attention for our message and thereby even empower them with new data? And I see a second major task for public theology, which I call the eschatological horizon of digital spaces. As digital technologies are not perceivable sensually, they depend even more than other technical changes to implicit imaginations, metaphors, and narratives. Taking the field of artificial intelligence as an example, we talk about intelligence, machine learning, autonomy of machines, and so on. Why do we use these anthropological categories, and what do we imply by using them? Following a long tradition of imaginations and stories in the Christian tradition, theology and the church have a sensorium for such narratives and imaginations, as Thorsten Mayreis emphasizes. To reflect on these narratives means to unveil the eschatological horizon of digital changes. Where do data-generating companies promise a God-like providence caring for us in all our ways? Where do promises of salvation and the debate about artificial intelligence appear? To add more examples might be an important task for public theology. Following this understanding, public theology not only contributes to a reflection of digital spaces as context for theology, but also to theologically shaping them. At the same time, digital spaces encourages to think about the way of being and doing theology publicly as a collaborative practice in the controversial debate on Christian witnesses. Public theology not only reacts on changes in digital spaces, but takes up theological modes of discourse which can be newly explored in the digital analog spaces today. So, thank you very much for your attention. If you have any comments or questions, don't hesitate to contact me. It's a collaborative task. Find the details on slide 20. Thanks again for your attention.